prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
That music can mean only one thing. Open season on Men. With my co-host, John Romano, who joined me in just one second. A couple announcements. First of all, this show is brought to you by Legendary Foods. They are the title sponsor of the show. Today is January 20th, 2020, for those of you listening to the show 100 years from now. And Legendary is coming out with something legendary, but you'll have to wait till the 24th in order to... Yes, I can see you, John. Sit tight. Legendary is coming out with something legendary, but you'll have to wait till the 24th to learn about it. I can promise you that from the kitchen of Shannon Yorton Penna and the brain of Ron Penna comes some of the most exciting foods and treats that you will ever lay your choppers on. So stay tuned for that. Also, there's a new segment at the end of every show called What I'm Digging. And this gives me an opportunity to talk about studies or things on my mind that I think are relevant to the community at large. But maybe it's not practical for me to have this author on because he's in Taiwan, like today's study. So I'll be doing that at the end of each show. And I'll always put the links to the papers in the show post on my website. Uh-oh, I did lose John. John, I lost you. Shoot. Hold on a second. Let me text him. Hold on. John, you're gone now. You did disappear. Please reconnect. I'm trying to keep things going here at the same time. Let's see what's going on with him. But that'll be a new segment. Today's show, Open Season on Men, we're going to talk about a study that shows that men in the USA over the past 20 years, their testosterone has dropped so dramatically that there's concern. There really is concern for health, but also from those of us who are paying attention, it looks like men are becoming more feminine. I may have to go to the phone. John is typing a text to me. And these researchers are serious about this. This isn't some campy thing about, oh, you know, there's a lot of trans people out there and all that sort of stuff today. This is legit. There's a lot of young guys out there that just don't have naturally elevated testosterone levels at their age. And in fact, they're crashing and they're closer to what women would have for testosterone. I'm hoping that John is going to try to reconnect here. We'll give it a couple more minutes and then I'm going to call him on the phone. And maybe that's what I need to do just to see if I can bring him up here. Oh, here he comes. Okay, hold on. Let me just do this one more time. Bring John up. Bring me up. There we go. Okay. Technical difficulty. How you doing, John?
How are you? Good, thank you.
So I was just vamping while I was waiting for you to reconnect that there's a study that was just published, and it was actually published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine by a group that was looking at testosterone levels and their trends in men in America. And you sent this to me. So I know that neither of us are surprised about this, but this is probably the first time anybody's actually gone to look at this, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, they list, I think, a rather incomplete list of why this could be, and I think it could diverge the path, because I think there are definitely some environmental issues, and there are also some hereditary issues, I think. And I think the combination of the two is what's causing the problem.
So go to hereditary first. Now, that's surprising that you would say that.
Well, you know, it the hereditary aspect of it is this is nothing new. I mean, this is obviously we didn't have xenoestrogens and sedentary lifestyles and obesity just yesterday. It's been evolving. It's been coming for years. So and generations, in fact. So if your grandfather, if you're a, you know, a Gen Z guy today, you're like 20 in your 20s, your grandfather could ostensibly be in his 60s, and he could have started, you know, realizing a decline, you know, environmentally. And then your father really got a zap of it environmentally. And now if his testosterone levels have become suppressed as a matter of environment and have maintained that way, the whole DNA deregulation is going to present itself in the next generation.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is actually showing up in science today when they look at exposure to things like pesticides. So there is transgenerational epigenetic effects. And it was once thought it was only to the ovum.
Right.
But it's not. Now we know that microRNA is changed in the father's sperm that is encoded. And so you're right. It's hereditary from the standpoint that it started with your great-grandfather. But the reality is that these are epigenetic alterations that are being ingrained into microRNA and DNA that ensure, like when we look at the research on the effects of DDT, for instance,
right?
They've only looked at five generations of rodents, which is considerable, and the mother is exposed here, and all the females upstream, great grandchildren, great great grandchildren, great 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 grandchildren. They are all showing the changes as a result of the mother being exposed here. So we really don't know how far transgenerational epigenetic effects affect us. But you can change them just the way they were changed the first time around.
Well, I believe those are the factors that are at the snowball at the top of the hill. Okay, so either the sun's going to come out and melt the snowball, or the snowball's going down the hill and it's going to pick up mass and speed.
Right.
Okay, so if you've got the genetic predisposition for low testosterone, and then you succumb to the sedentary lifestyle, because we know intense exercise increases testosterone, if you're going to be subjected to environmental xenoestrogens, we know that's going to be affected in the water and in the food supply, which is going to, you know, downregulate further testosterone and increase estrogen, medications, all this other crap. So if you're already predisposed to a genetic downregulation, and then you also subscribe to these other modern factors, by the time the next two generations roll around, there's going to be no boys born. It's all going to be girls.
In fact, I predicted about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I tried to get the authors of there's two authors in Scandinavia that have published five papers, and then they disappeared off the face of the earth. I think it's because their papers have widespread implications and liabilities assigned to companies. If their research was accepted and promoted by the mainstream, so they actually created and recreated three different times a model that produces whatever you want to call it, LGBT rodents. Okay? So what they did was they, and it's been so long since I've read these, but what they did was they took rodents and so the way a fetus works is the brain forms last, but genitalia happens in the first trimester of a human. So what they did was they recreated this environment, and then they added influencing hormones to the mother. So what they did was, in the beginning, let's say, they starved the mother of DHT, which is a strong producer of differentiation between the vagina and the penis. And so they starved her of DHT, and in the womb, the rodents, they started to develop, or they remained vaginas. But then in the equivalent of the third trimester in a human, they then started to promote DHT. The wiring in the brain became that of a male preferring vaginas. So what they ended up doing was they created a female rodent that wanted other females. Then they did this three different times. Oh. They did it with male rodents the next time, and they showed that they could produce a gay rodent. And depending on when they introduced the influencing hormone and for how long and what hormone they introduced, they could either have male rodents that preferred males sexually, or they could have female rodents that wanted female rodents sexually. This is huge. This is huge because this shows that this disgusting environment we're creating today is changing people's, not only their sex, but their sexual preference. It's, you know, where we used to think, oh, just pray more and you won't. No, a guy doesn't wake up one morning and go, gee, I wonder what it'd feel like to have balls on my chin. You know, he just doesn't. You're either wired to think that way or you're not. And the chemicals that you're talking about are absolutely doing this to humans. So why not lower testosterone too?
Well, I mean, they do. I mean, I have seen with my own two eyes empirical evidence of this in Guadalajara, Mexico, and that is an extremely polluted city. There's generations of metrosexual, homosexual behavior that's generational. Okay, and tons of xenoestrogens in the food. Tons of xenoestrogens in the water supply, which is horrible in Mexico. And as a result, we're seeing, or they are experiencing, 6 female births per every male birth.
Yeah.
And it's normally about 50-50 in the rest of the world. So not only are you getting a 6-to-1 birth rate augmentation, but you're also getting, of the males born, a disproportionate amount are homosexual or bisexual. So, and this is purely evident by virtue of the environment. The environment is whether you've had, I think it's a great example of genetic predisposition exacerbated by the environment.
Yes.
And that's what you get.
And 20 years from now, we're not going to have male and female. We're going to have breeders and non-breeders. That's how you're going to be classified. You're either able to breed, or you choose to breed, or you're not able to breed, or you don't choose to breed. Because with the emphasis on, you know, I identify as a 58-year-old woman, I identify as a horse, you know, all this nonsense out there, what you identify as. You know, I identify as Richard Branson. I want to move into his house. You know, I should be allowed to do that. So you know, with those modifications to societal constructs, and then these real, like serious, biological changes to human men and human women, we're going to end up with the population that identifies themselves as breeders and non-breeders.
I think that's a rather kind way of putting it. But you know what? I also look at it another way. It's not sustainable. This is not sustainable. Eventually, ultimately, it will mean the end of the human race.
Yes.
If this continues. You have to reproduce. Okay. Now, there are certain factions of the human race that reproduce at a far greater rate than others.
Right.
And that would lend perhaps an artificial dominance in a particular race of people over time. But overall, you can't have a diminution of masculinity and maleness and male characteristics and expect the human race to continue. It's not going to.
No, in fact, this study that you sent me, I got the study from the article. This study that you sent me actually has some very dark comments in the last few sentences,
yes.
Like that. This could make men, like, if this trend continues and becomes widespread in the population, we won't have men or men that can reproduce, and that men can, first of all, become extinct. And then what women don't understand when they're screaming about our toxic masculinity is that you need us. Like, otherwise, you know, it's going to be like that Abbott and Costello with the Venusian balloons and, you know, a planet full of women. Can't happen. Can't reproduce. Oh, I know a lot of women are saying, oh, well, we have artificial meat. We have artificial insemination. You got to get the semen somewhere. There's got to be, you're going to have to keep one guy chained up in a cave and you have to go in there and empty him out every now and then so the population can keep going.
But either or they'll invent artificial sperm. You know, this, I'm sure they're onto that.
Out of soy, yeah.
You know, yeah, out of soy. Good luck with that. The implications, though, are really ridiculous for the progressives that believe in this crap. You cannot rewire humanity. I mean, and it's instinctual. I mean, we talked about this, I think, on the last show. There were studies done where women were shown pictures of various types of men, from the bulky, big, burly ones to the little, you know, feminine, you know, man bun wearing, you know, metros. And instinctively, the women's eyes, they put a thing on their instinctively, right. The women's eyes went to the masculine, the more built guy. Okay. And the psychiatrists surmise that that is a survival mechanism wired in women that chooses the best hunter, protector, provider based on physical size and strength. And that's written in our DNA. Not for some reason, these weirdos want to change that. So the toxic aspect of it is really broad and bewilderingly ambiguous. And I think it's just a platform for some of these morons to be heard. But overall, they're signing their own death warrant because ultimately, if they get what they want, the human race will end.
Yes. And I really do think that's what they want. I think that I observe a lot of self-hating humans today. Mm-hmm. You know, like vegans who would rather see a human being die than a precious animal. That's
or
a self-hating vegan. What?
Or a tree.
That's a self-hating human. Like, yeah. You really, like, you would let, oh, we lost John again. Uh-oh. He'll connect. You know, you would let a human being die instead of a coyote. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. In fact, that's antithetical to the way we are hardwired to protect ourselves and our communities and basically our species. And that's really the opposite of what we're programmed for. I'm hoping John comes back quickly. I was looking for an article here. So let me tell you something interesting. So at birth, boys have pretty much the same amount of testosterone as girl babies. It ranges anywhere from 37. Here he comes. I'm going to put you on the other side. I was just saying at birth, where are we? Here we go. There we go. You're on the other side now.
Did you pay the bill?
Huh?
Did you pay the bill?
Yeah, I paid it. I just mailed it today. So at birth, boy babies and girl babies have very, very similar levels of testosterone. Girls, 37 to 198. That's a baby. 198 nanograms a deciliter of testosterone in a baby. And that's girl babies. So think about this for a second. You know, women are talking about toxic masculinity. There's periods of time in a woman's menstrual cycle where she will have the testosterone levels that are considered the new low end for men. And so if we suffer from toxic masculinity because of testosterone, then what do women suffer from? They have testosterone too.
Hyperestrogenism. I don't know. You look at this stuff and it's kind of wacky. Rather than solve the problem, let's just lower the bar. You know, it's kind of antithetical if you think about it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the women promoting this crap is that they're the first ones to be screaming for a man when the shit hits the fan.
Right.
So, right. driving in the middle of the night and you get a flat tire, you know, where's the guy to go out in the rain and change it? They're not going to do it.
Right.
So, I mean, and that's something that may seem archaic, but it's simple and basic. But if you expand that into include everything, you'll notice that they're barking up the wrong tree. It's a self-loathing, self-deprecating philosophy because in the end, like I've said, it's to their demise.
Right.
So, and with, I wanted to comment on the self-hatred thing.
Yes.
That is a big issue. That is a big issue, especially in America. Whites hating themselves because they're white, men hating themselves because they're men, privileged hating themselves because they're privileged. What the fuck? You are what you are. You know, you can't decide that if that's what you are and you're going to hate yourself for it because there's another part of society that may be downtrodden or not equal to you. So you go, your solution is hate yourself? What, where did that come from?
I know. I was just about to say, well, we could thank politicians for that, but that's not true. Politicians just capitalize on what's trending in the majority. So somewhere along the line, someone decided to feel bad about who they were and started a trend. It's the stupidest thing in the world. So you're right. You know, we're white guys. We're supposed to feel bad for being white guys.
Yes. Well, the terrorist we just killed, Soleimani.
Yeah.
Okay. The morning after his extinction, he had some stupid actress on Twitter
apologizing. Yeah.
Apologizing. Now, obviously, social media is the weapon by which this idiocy is being foisted upon the rest of us. So, were there no social media, retarded messages like this would not get out. But the fact that we have social media, Twitter basically gets from the writer into the consumer without passing any kind of filter. You can say anything you want.
And a portion of the population will believe you.
Worse. That's worse. Yeah. So you have some moron actress has a 5 million followers on Twitter, and she's going to say, "Oh my God, we've killed this poor guy, and you know I'm really sorry that we did that. He killed 600 Americans. Where were you when that happened?"
Yeah.
You know,
it's popular. It's popular to be triggered and be upset about something today. People spend a lot of time finding things to get riled up about.
And it's unfortunate that social media has become the devil's toolbox when it comes to this.
It's actually dumbed down our population. I can actually say that I think it's dumbed down our population. People read headlines and then they become entrenched in anger because of the headline. And they don't even read the whole story. They don't even realize that that's not what the story was about. And then they become incensed and they start spewing hatred on everybody. It's like, we are really living up to the movie Idiocracy. I know you laugh, but it's scary.
I say it all the time. I say it all the time. Every time I explain, it's like, you ever watch the movie Idiocracy? That is where we're
heading. That's where we're heading. And you know what? I have tried to reach out to the guy who wrote that script because he must have had a frigging crystal ball. How long? Is that movie 20 years old now?
At least 20 years, if not more.
Yeah. Oh, man. We got some stuff coming up here. Let's do this real quick. Hold on. So Nathan Sloan says, I can't read the whole thing. It just moved on me. There we go. They are devolving.
Devolving.
Yeah, so it's actually devolution, right. Not that I believe in evolution, but I do believe a species can change dynamics based on its environment. We have no more natural predators. We are no longer hunter-gatherers. We rarely engage in agriculture, which is true. Science indicates we are getting lower and lower IQs, too. And it's the truth. And I do believe in evolution. I'm sorry. Critical thinking makes me understand that. And you're absolutely right, Nathan, because so Dr. Daniel Lieberman, the brilliant author of The Story of the Human Body, Harvard professor in anthropology, came on my show, and he said that the reality is what really drives evolution is the contemporary ideas that women choose mates based on them displaying what women believe will be valuable assets to their offspring. And unfortunately, women are driven by culture almost exclusively. So culture then drives evolution. So you have guys today that women are choosing because they're feminine, because they pose no threat, but they don't realize that they can't defend you. They can't lift heavy boxes for you. And then they hate their husbands for it. I mean, it's crazy, but culture drives evolution, and we are seeing that today.
Well, you know, it's based on the fact that humans are adaptive organisms. We adapt to whatever situation environmentally you put us in. Now, if we lived in the era of ancient Sparta, you wouldn't see any of this shit,
no.
Irrespective of social media. In fact, social media would make us more macho, okay? So, but we don't live in that mindset. We don't live in that environmental in that environment that fosters masculinity and all things, you know. You know, there's masculinity and there's chivalry, and I think there's a construct between the two. Where the chivalry comes in, it's because the man is masculine and more and male and bigger and stronger and more apt to hunt, provide, protect. Then the act of protecting and providing and hunting is lauded by the female in that environment, and therefore it's not only okay, it's expected that the male offspring are going to follow this route and carry on the chivalry of their fathers and their grandfathers in protecting the women, providing for the women, being responsible for a family, protecting the family, hunting, providing, protecting, etc. So, that's gone now. That is gone. Gone. The Marlboro Man is gone. John Wayne is gone. The Magnificent Seven are gone. That shit is gone. And if you look at all, and I mean all, of the entertainment that's out there today, in media, commercials, advertising, all of it is geared towards a very middle-of-the-road, non-masculine, non-threatening male image. And it's promoted everywhere.
Well, look at services like Roman. Who are they advertising to? They advertising to old guys like you and me. They're advertising to 25 and 35 year old guys who can't get erections.
That's right.
And why? Because they have low testosterone and they have xenoestrogens and anti-androgens like phthalates competing for the androgen receptor. It's, you know, they eat soy latte. They drink soy lattes three times a day. It's like we are. Oh, my God. It's so effing scary to me.
They don't exercise. They're overweight. But those are two giant contributors to this, because when you're overweight and lose weight, your testosterone goes up. When you gain weight, your testosterone goes down and your estrogen goes up. And when you exercise, your testosterone goes up. So you've got the absolute complete formula for the demasculinization of society now. And instead of being outraged by it, the majority of the people are happy about it.
Sure, because this is that example of culture driving evolution, because this is what women choose. Men pursue and women choose. So men have to be what women want or they're not going to hook up. So you see guys out there who are destroying themselves in front of a woman and embarrassing themselves in front of a woman so that she'll be more interested in them. Where back in the day, when you were a strong individual, but you weren't violent, you didn't hit people, you know, when you took pride in yourself, when you knew that you were a man and you enjoyed living in that space, that's what attracted women back then. But it's changed. And I've said this before, and people have really busted my balls for saying this, but if you don't like where our population is going in the United States, then thank women for it, not men.
But deep down, they have an attraction for the bad boy.
Yeah, but not all of them. Not all of them. I think, no, not all. But you're right. You know, there are women out there still that like men.
Yes.
And luckily, you know, luckily, right. Because so Dr. Nigel Rocco Howard says society. He said you guys are spot on. He says society is shooting itself in the foot. It's, you know what? We're seeing society shoot itself in the foot in a myriad of areas today. It's almost like people fail to realize that if you're on a ship and you don't like the captain or you don't like the people working in the ship, sinking the ship is not an option because you're on the ship. Like, if you, yeah, you'll be going down and you'll be going, yeah, now we got them. Oh, shoot, we got ourselves too. Like,
right.
We have to start, first thing first. Women have to be more vocal today that they like men who are men, because we have all these young girls out there choosing guys who really look like their girlfriends, but they have a penis. So we need to be more vocal. Men need to be treated better. You know, we're the ones who, you know, until you all women wanted to get into the war, which some of you wanted to do, whatever, I don't know why, but the reality is that men are the ones that die in wars. When we talk about wars and all you women are getting your asses all puckered up about this war and that war, it's guys, by and large, that are dying in wars. Like, be nice to men. Don't try to throw them under the bus. Don't try to play them. Don't humiliate them because they don't fit your model of what a man is, because your model of what a man is may be really screwed. Your compass may be really, really off.
Well, I mean, look at society, okay? The majority of police officers are men. The majority of firefighters are men. The majority of other first responders are men. The majority of doctors are men. The majority of most of soldiers, as you said, in the military, are men. So here you have the majority of all of these protective systems that we have in society are manned, no pun intended, by men. The big majority is men doing that. And a lot of those tasks are selfless. You're going to find a lot of men in these positions that are going to, that'll take the bullet for the women.
And for 32,000 a year, for 40,000 a year. And you know, so he's not taking down big bucks. He's not on the internet selling IG pictures like all these other little shit asses. He's out there actually doing something where every day he leaves his house, he can't guarantee he'll be home. And he's doing it for 40,000 a year. But meanwhile, everybody wants to hate the friggin' cops today. If the cops disappeared tomorrow, every one of you soy boys would be getting raped and your asses would be kicked 9 to 5.
Absolutely. And, you know, but it's I think there's still an inherent strength to it. That movie theater shooting a couple of years ago at the Batman movie, there the guys stood up on the stage and shot at the audience. There were several, I think there were three or four instances where there were couples where the guy died because he threw his body over the girl. She lived, he died.
Right.
Zero instances of a woman shot in the back because she threw her body over the guy. Okay. So that's an instant trigger when that happens right there. And that's when you see what real instinct is. And if it's still in there, it's just the problem is we have diverged from instinct to environment, and society is undoing what's trying to undo what's instinctual. And but what's the end game? Do you really want to get rid of men? Is that really the end game? Or do you just want men to be, you know, docile, moldable little creatures that you can be buddies with, and that, you know, when you want to have a kid, you can go to this, you know, building over here and get a shot of sperm from, you know, I don't know, prisoners maybe. Move them as sperm farms. I don't know. What is your end game, ladies?
I want to talk about prisoners when we come back, because one of the hallmark studies done on the linkage between aggression and testosterone levels was done on prisoners. But wait a minute. You're going to take a population of violent people and go, the ones with the higher testosterones were more violent? This, you couldn't do that in any kind of other science, but it's popular to denounce testosterone with a stupid study like that.
Right.
Okay? We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Open Season on Men.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who, because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
There's lots of CBD products out there, and there's lots of misinformation too. If you want the best CBD product available and the way to use it to improve athletic performance, there is only one choice: Venga CBD. Venga CBD is five times more bioavailable than other products, and you feel it faster. But more importantly, the folks at Venga have identified the best way to use it for athletic performance. Go to superhumanradio.net today and download your free copy of the Endurance Athlete's Guide to CBD. Use code SHR10 and save 10% off at VengaCBD.com. That's VengaCBD.com. Do you use protein powder? Then you'll want to hear this. Thrive Protein is the single best protein blend in the world, built around what Mother Nature put into mother's milk. Thrive Protein is the first human-appropriate protein blend. There's just too much in Thrive to list in this commercial. That's why I'm challenging you to compare your current protein to Thrive. Get your current protein and go to THRIVProtein.com and see how your protein's label stacks up to Thrive. For a limited time, get 3 pounds of Thrive for $59.95, including shipping inside the USA. That's THRIVProtein.com and code COMPARE. Get ready to experience protein envy.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. I almost said welcome back to Off Topic. Isn't that weird? I had like a deja vu moment. Welcome back to Open Season on Men. My guest, my co-host, is John Romano, and people are loving this discussion. I think it's been a long time since anyone has said some of these things. That's on every man's mind, on every man's mind. Darcy Clark, I'm going to summarize. He's basically saying that when you look at the guys with low testosterone, they're either very fat or very skinny. Talked about birth control. He talks about what women. See, the problem, and guys, when you post a comment, if it's too long, like if it's paragraphs, I can't do anything with it. I can just glean it because John and I are looking at your comment on a tiny little screen, and it's very, very hard. I'm trying to summarize this. You know, the reality is what he's saying is that the guys with the low testosterone are really the problem guys when we look at health, when we look at productivity and all that sort of stuff, that's who they are. And it's funny he says that because there's a study that was published by a group over in Munster, Germany, and it was published in the Institute of Reproductive Medicine in Munster, Germany. And the name of the study was Testosterone Levels in Healthy Men and the relation to behavioral and physical characteristics, facts and constructs. And the one thing I want to pull your attention to is this last line. After these guys debunk all this nonsense about testosterone and point out that men with the lowest testosterone levels don't fare well in longevity. They die sooner, number one. So think about that when you think about this population of young guys who their testosterone's already crashed and they're in their late 20s when it should be raging. It should be raging. But the thing that they say is studies must be viewed with caution and oversimplification as well as overinterpretation should be avoided when we talk about testosterone. And that's exactly this whole, oh, toxic masculinity, testosterone leads to violence. So there was a study done, I think it was in 2001, searching for the linkage between testosterone and aggression. And of course, in aggression, we mean violence. So where did these brainiacs go to find the subject for their study? A prison. Well, I guess you could also come up with a bunch of other correlations, not causations, about prisoners too. Like the incidence of male rape in society today. Let's go to prisons and look. No, there's a lot more male rape going on in prisons than there are out in the streets. So what do? They go to the most violent offenders and test their testosterone. Well, they should have tested their cholesterol too, because they probably had high cholesterol. Maybe cholesterol is linked to violence. See the stupidity in this? It's the same thing they did with testosterone 5 years ago when they did that study that made all the class action lawsuit attorneys jump on testosterone, which you notice they're gone because they couldn't get any clients. They couldn't get it because most guys on testosterone are going, no, man, I love this stuff. They're not going away. But what they did was they took a sick population, men that had already received a heart catheter. Men who are getting catheterized, they already have heart problems. And they put them on testosterone, and they said, instead of one out of every 100, two out of every 100 ended up with the reoccurrence of the heart attack. But when you look deeper into the study, you find out that the men were prescribed testosterone, and only a small portion of them had their prescriptions renewed. Like 80% of them did the one prescription, and they stopped doing it. So they weren't even really on testosterone. But nobody reads that because they want confirmation bias. I hate testosterone. This study says this. So these guys are warning people. Don't generalize about testosterone.
There was actually another study in between the two that was done on sports fans. And they wanted to see if the more revelous sports fan had higher testosterone. And what they found was that it was the other way around. It was the excitement of the game and rooting for their team raised testosterone. Sure. It wasn't the other way around.
Sure.
So there was, you know, there's, I keep saying it's environmental aspects affect the levels, and it can be on a broad scope of environmental instigators. And you're going to find that if you put yourself in a certain situation, In a football game when your favorite team is winning, or ancient Sparta and everything in between, you're going to have higher levels of testosterone versus the guys who are sitting in Starbucks with a soy latte and a cat sitting on his lap.
And think of that from an evolutionary perspective. It makes perfect sense because the body's going, it's sensing this level of excitement. It's sensing this level of stress or fear or anticipation, and it goes, wow, we must be about to get down. Like, we need to pump up the testosterone. Because that's guys watch porn, their testosterone goes up. Sure, because the brain goes, oh, we may be having sex soon, it feels like. Let me make some testosterone. So this makes perfect sense. Lifestyle, as you pointed out early in the show, influences testosterone levels.
Yes. The problem with that is, apart from the obvious deleterious effect on men, the problem with it is instead of these issues being combated, they're being glorified. So everywhere you look, there is the presentation of man is less manly than they were before. Everywhere.
And everywhere
across the board.
Dr. Nigel Arako Howard makes an amazing point that fits nicely into this. Men are being made to grow beards in order to differentiate from the female, as they now have similar physical traits. It's true. I see guys with huge, big butts, like Jennifer Lopez butts. I see guys with boobs now. I mean, regularly, guys with boobs. I see guys who, like Elisa and I were just talking about this. We were at the store one day, and she looked at me and she goes, "Pat," because that's our code. Remember SNL, Pat? Remember?
Val and I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's like she goes to me, "Look, Pat," and I was like, "Wow, I don't know, I don't know." Well, I think it might be a guy. I go, because no, it might be a woman. It's like it's happening right before our eyes,
and it's more than ever. I mean, it's more than ever. I commented to Valerie the other day. I forgot where we were. I think we were. I don't remember where we were. It was a large, crowded place. It might have been a store, whatever. And I kept saying, Pat, you know, and it way more than normal. When I was out on the lake this summer, I saw more man boobs than I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And I'm like, how is this happening? You know, and I don't mean just a fat guy that's got like fat rolls. I mean, like a, you know, reasonably
like banana boobs, you know, like on National Geographic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like the teachers from Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is happening, folks. It's happening.
And it's not a parlor trick and it's not a joke because it's scary.
It's serious because if you want the human race to continue, we got to do something about this because the end game is not winnable.
Well, okay. So I don't think we have to do something about it. I think that guys, men,
fix itself.
Yes, this is. Look, this is evolutionary selection pressure at its best, right?
Yes, yes.
A long time ago, I used to complain that not enough people listen to my show, and Ron Penna said to me, "Your show is more like a private club. We don't want all those people listening to it." And I started to think about it, and I thought, you know, we don't have the plague to wipe out 7 million people overnight. But we do have this slow marching parade of kind of thinning the herd because children are getting diseases that adults used to get. Those children won't procreate and their genes will be removed from the pool the same way if we had 9 million people die from a plague. But it's just a slower process. And so what's going to happen is this. It's going to be 100 years from now. But all of these would-be men that can't father children because they have fertility problems. And all of these would-be women that won't be able to have babies, they're going to run out of adoption opportunities. Those opportunities aren't their genes. Those people, those kids, they may raise them, but they may be different people once they get out on their own. But we're actually going to see them not have as many children by choice because of planet warming and all that sort of stuff, or not be able to. And then that whole mentality stops with them. Boom, it's gone. So I don't think we have to do anything. I think what we do have to do is men need to be proud to be masculine and don't buy into this whole BS from Hollywood and everybody else. And the women who love them need to love them openly in the faces of these people who think the ideal man is a guy who wants to shop with, you know, Victoria's Secrets with pants. Well, wait a minute. That might actually be more fun for a guy who likes women. But, you know what I mean, right?
Oh, you know what? You know what would make Victoria's Secret a lot better? If they put some lounge chairs in there. Well, there's nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll spend all day in there with my wife if I got somewhere to sit down. But yeah. I got to stand by the fucking black lace bras leaning into the freaking thing to stand there and wait till she's done shopping, huh? You know, I want to sit down and have a glass of bourbon, a cigar, and, you know, watch her try on shit.
Well,
that would be an enjoyable, you know, a shopping experience rather than the other. But they have
places like that. They're called strip clubs. That's what they are.
Yeah, I think one is a little more acceptable than the other one to your wife. But I wanted to mention something else. You know, there's a nationality aspect to this. We're commenting from our view mostly in America and some European countries, among white people.
Right.
Okay. And if anybody calls me a racist for this, I'm going to be really pissed off because this is not what I'm doing, but this is just a fact. Muslims, for example, have 7.2 children per couple. 7.2 on the average. White Americans have less than two.
One and a half,
something like that. We are at a point now where that trend is irreversible. We cannot go back. If white Americans were boffing churning out a kid every 9 months, twins and triplets included, we could never catch the Muslims at this point.
Right.
We can't do it.
Right.
So what does that mean? Play that forward. I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm saying it's the inevitability of what's going to happen.
Right.
What's going to happen is that the Muslim community is going to be a large, gigantic part of the population, and the white American population or white European population is going to die off.
Right.
And if you look back through the annals of time, you will find all kinds of offshoots of humanity that has died out.
Right.
And we're just going to be us. We are going to be another one. 50, 100 years from now, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
And we're going to see a dominant class of people because they reproduced. They didn't fall for this toxic masculinity crap. I'm not saying I agree with aspects and tenets of Sharia law or any of that crap. But what I am saying is if you maintain the viable difference between male and female and live in those established roles and reproduce like we're intended, you're gonna advance the species. If you don't do that, you're going to disappear.
And the only reason why this is even important is because more than ever, we have been segregated into groups. Mm-hmm. We've been the human population is being fractionized every day by the modern culture. You have people using the word tribe specifically.
Yes.
That's small groups. But then you have policies in place through politics that can't be ignored, that are clearly racist. Look, I want to make a point to you about racism. I'm 14% Northern African. So before you start jumping on me, okay? But I want to make a point about racism. Racism isn't only when you do something hurtful to somebody because of their race. Racism is when you do something kind to that person because of their race. Racism is doing something, taking an action, specifically because of that person's race. So, if I am driving down the road and I see a guy on the side of the road, black guy, and I think, you know, I'm going to go help him, that's not racism. Now, if I go out of my way to drive around and I say, I'm only going to find black people to help today, change their tires, society will look at me as being a really benevolent person. But that's racism. If I'm going out and helping somebody because of their race, that's racism. So before you decide that racism is a horrible thing, you need to be more clear about the fact that racism that hurts people is a horrible thing. If you want to do away with all racism, then we have to do away with all the programs that have been in place to give any specific group of people a leg up in a situation, because that's still racism.
It's also being good at and proud of the race that you are. I mean, just look at the word racist. If you're a guitarist or a pianist or an artist, you are prolific and good at what you do. If you are a racist, you are good and prolific at supporting your race. Sometimes that's perverted into the detriment of a competing race, but the benevolent aspect of it is there. So, you know, you got to look at, you know, all aspects of this. I think you can extrapolate this topic from that racist instrument by saying, you know, You guys are, you women are calling this toxic masculinity. We are proud and good at being men, proud of and being good at men. So that gives us that, you know, that character that you find toxic. So who's practicing racism here? You know,
well, gender discrimination is against the law, except when it's men.
When it's reversed,
yeah.
Right.
When it's men, it's against,
right.
You know, it's against the law, and it's frowned upon if the gender discrimination is happening to women. But when women get up there and say testosterone's the reason that the world is screwed up, men are the reason, toxic masculinity, you know, all the horrible things that they say today about men in the media and in Hollywood, the subliminal messages in movies.
Sure.
You like, if you did that about women, the women would be marching in Capitol Hill. They'd be going, stop that, you know, gender discrimination. Guy, and this is part of our problem. Part of being a man is sucking it up and moving on.
Yep.
That's actually something that women love about guys. My mother used to say, your father, all the years that he was injured, hurt, sick with illness, he never complained. He never complained, right? And we are, as men, with you don't cry, you suck it up, you move forward. Life's not fair. That's just the way it is. And the reality is that that's who women want us to be. And there's women who value that on both sides of the fence, whether they're feminists or whether they're not. So, you know, this idea that men are somehow, you know, inherently evil, I want to get to something here that Dr. Nigel just said. I want to put this up. He said, wrong one. I'm sorry. I'm trying to use. He said that he actually prescribes men watch porn when he has somebody who has ED. Interesting. I bet that works. No?
Unless you're so desensitized to it, it doesn't have any effect.
Well, I guess a guy who's not watching porn much probably would get something out of it.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
To your point, my father used to tell me, a real man is someone who is a guy who does what he has to do, not what he wants to do, and does for the women what they don't want to do. So, and in spite of it, it's got nothing to do with want. It's got to do with duty and responsibility and what you're supposed to do, and. You know, some people will say, well, society puts that on you. And no, it's ingrained in us. It is part of what makes the differentiation between the man and the woman. And it's knee-jerk reaction. You're in a restaurant. You and your girl are out at a restaurant. The bill comes. The waiter's putting the check down
in front of you. Right.
Not
right.
Putting it down in front of her. It's just that's the way it is. So – you know, these expectations we have fly in the face of this feminist Nazi movement to you know, eradicate men and masculinity from the face of the earth.
Yeah. Matthew Watkins says to Dr. Howard, I can hear his voice now saying, for fuck's sake, love watching Lee on RX Muscle. They want me to have Lee Priest on the show. That's their saying.
They associate me with Lee anytime we go.
Is that what it is? Okay. And I know Lee is good at ranting. His opinions are well known. He doesn't.
He'd be great.
He doesn't hold back. We should have him on the show.
Yeah, we should.
So the thing that we need to start to do, and I'm kind of thinking through this, right? If we're going to progress as men, we have to see all men as the team. Not black men and white men, all men. Every man listening to this show, we are being crushed today. Women are surpassing us in the things that they fight for and get done. And we sit back because we don't like to complain, like I was saying, and we just keep swallowing stuff down. But it's time for men to see themselves the way women see themselves. A group.
You're absolutely right. But the one of the telltale signs of how this is affecting society is right now, women now outnumber men in the workforce. 50 years ago, that would have been absolutely unheard of.
Right.
and improbable.
Right.
But now it's a fact. It's a reality. So keep pushing men down, ladies. Keep pushing them down. Keep hating them. Keep promoting this toxic masculinity crap. What happens is guys give up. They don't want to deal with this shit. They don't want to get married. They don't want to have kids. They don't want to work. They give up. They don't want to deal with this crap.
Yeah.
And this is the result. You have more women working. You have less kids being born. You have more gay and trans transsexual and gender confused people more than ever before. And this is a direct result of the all out attack on real men and masculinity.
It's an anti-man culture today.
Yes,
I don't care
if
you're a black man, a white man, an Asian man. It's an anti-man culture. And if you don't realize it and start to stick your head up and ask questions and be concerned about it, you're going to hand your great-grandchildren, the boys, a horrible world to live in. And
right.
You know what? And I shouldn't say world because it's not like that in other countries. It's like that here in the USA. It's just like Meghan Markle went over to the UK and somehow she was treated racistly in the UK. UK doesn't have any problems. Blacks and whites in the UK do fine together. There's no problem. But she was going to import that from the United States and bring it there.
Yeah. Great job. You know, I like the meme that shows a picture of her and Yoko Ono. And Yoko Ono's underneath hers. It says, "I broke up the Beatles." And under Meghan Markle's, it says, "Hold my beer."
Yeah, right. She's going to break up but she's not going to break up the royal family. That's why the Queen Mother's probably going, thank God, let her go move to Canada.
Yeah,
Leave me alone.
Yeah, Canada's going to end up being the dumping grounds of every, you know, liberal lunatic that, you know, can't hack it in the real world. They're all going to go live in freaking Canada.
So here,
open arms.
Dr. Nigel says, luckily here in the UK, we haven't suffered the same amount of toxic masculinity as you guys have. But it's coming. We see it, and clubs and schools. Hmm. Yeah.
See? Well, you know, some of these scholars that are studying this from the female side ought to take a look at this and say, what is the end game here, ladies? What do we plan on accomplishing?
Yeah.
And you know, what's really the interesting thing. Is that when you have a normal, healthy, heterosexual relationship and you look at it, and I mean a good, normal relationship, you'll find that it's very harmonious, works really well. You know, there's very little tension and very little problem in a normal, healthy, heterosexual relationship.
Right.
All kinds of abnormal and unhealthy heterosexual relationships out there. I am not talking about them. I am talking about the few and far between real good ones. And when you see them and among your friends or the people that you know, your family, whatever, you'll notice that it is a very, very harmonious institution and there's very little problem with it. We only have problems with it when social media starts foisting this nonsense from some deranged psycho that's got an audience.
And I want to mention, I want to close the show on one thing. I have this dream of starting a movement against Hollywood. Right now, today, there's a march on the Virginia Capitol because Ralph Northam,
guns,
who really is, he's moving so quickly in introducing bills because Ralph Northam is looking to impose an insult on the Second Amendment to Virginia voters. And I said this to Elisa a couple days ago. Hollywood could not make a blockbuster movie without the portrayal of the illegal use of guns. Now, think about this. Every one of your favorite John Wick shoot 'em up movies, oh, man, yeah, you know, he's cutting people down. This is actually, in the real world, illegal use of firearms. This is exactly what Hollywood claims that they want anti-gun legislation introduced to protect people. Well, here's what I say. I say that somebody write a bill that Hollywood can no longer portray the illegal use of guns in their movies if they want to promote this anti-gun sentiment. watch how quickly Hollywood goes, oh, wait a minute. Guns may not be the problem after all, because they would literally, 80% of the movies they make every single year portray the illegal use of guns, and it's suggestive. It's not like, they're doing the story about John Lennon when he got shot. No, it's suggestive. It's these bang 'em up, shoot 'em up, you know, James Bond, people getting shot, killed, maimed, run over by cars. The degree gratuitous violence in these movies. If you had to tell them you can't do that anymore with guns, you'd see how fast they would be pro gun, because they would Hollywood would dry up overnight.
Or knives, fighting, martial arts, all of that shit, and require that all their security details and those of the Pope, the congressmen, senators, all of the liberal Democrats that are yelling about this crap, all of their security details have to be former Hooters girls with no guns. See how far they go.
Hooters girls? No. They got to be Birkenstock-wearing girls. That's what they deserve.
Birkenstock-wearing, underarm
hairy. Yeah, exactly. Leg hair, the whole thing. Stinky. Right. Women don't even shower anymore.
Vegan women who don't shave under their arms wear Birkenstocks. That's their security detail. Not with no guns.
There you go.
Between those two, shit would dry up overnight.
I really want to see. I don't think it's practical for the guns. If they're saying that guns cause murders and homicide and all these things, then they have to stop portraying guns being used in illegal ways in their movies.
I agree. And they also need to stop relying on them to save their own lives when, you know, their security's at risk. You know, fuck it.
Yeah.
You want to live by the sword, you die by the sword.
I like that.
That's the way it goes. You can't be a hypocrite. That's the biggest problem with all of this, is the monumental pile of hypocrisy that gets piled onto these issues. If you're really anti-gun, then be anti-gun. Live in an anti-gun society. Forget using them in your portrayals. Forget being protected by them. Forget owning them. You are out of the realm when it comes to guns,
yeah.
Hollywood.
Let's
see how far you go.
You know what? Maybe if somebody's listening in the audience wants to help us out with this, maybe we can go to one of those websites where you take a poll, you know, you sign the petition, one of those petition websites. Let's get a petition going that basically says, if you want to infringe on our Second Amendment right, Hollywood, then you have to stop portraying illegal use of guns in your movies, because this is suggestive, and you're actually glamorizing people who go out there and kill five or six people in an afternoon, and then they go, you know, the next scene of the movie. You're glamorizing that. It didn't happen. It's not a documentary. So you're glamorizing it, and you're actually planting the seeds in people's heads that if they do this, people will applaud them the same way that they're applauding John Wick right now.
And add to that list the Birkenstock-wearing Silicon Valley living video game creators that have nothing but violence to sell to our children. All the music videos and rap songs that talk about killing cops.
Don't even get me started on rap music, because it's the funniest thing in the world, because the left denounces anything that they think is that is sexist. But I haven't been listening to much of the new rap because I don't like it. But back in the day, that's all it was sexism in those.
Yep. So. Sexism and
that's an example of the hypocrisy that you're pointing out right now.
So you have to eradicate it. If you're against it, then quit making money off it.
Yeah. All right. Look, we're gonna pull the plug on this interview here with John Romano. We'll be back on with him again for another episode of Open Season on Men. When I come back, I'm going to talk about a study that you really need to know about. If you understand the role senescent cells play in aging, you're going to love this next study. I promise you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks, John. Redcon One is one of the fastest growing supplement companies in the world today. That's because they produce supplements that deliver on their promises. From their flagship pre-workout Total War to their innovative whole food MREs and bars. Now you can get the deepest discount ever offered to any audience anywhere. Use code SHR and get 25% off all Redcon One products today. SHR and 25% off. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Gutierrez.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to DrSeeds.com. That's DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers. If you haven't searched hydrogen water in PubMed yet, you must. Hydrogen-infused water possesses undeniable performance, health, and longevity benefits in the realm of real biohacking. Hydrogen water machines cost hundreds to thousands of dollars. Now you can have the strongest hydrogen-infused water conveniently anywhere you want it thanks to Drink HRW. They make the only legal and clinically validated formula to create hydrogen water instantly. I thought this stuff was BS till I started using it. The effects on my training and my gut are undeniable. I have more energy and I last longer without stims. You have to try Drink HRW Maximum Strength Hydrogen Water Tablet today. Go to h2waternow.com and use the code SHR for 10% off today. Do you use protein powder? Then you'll want to hear this. Thrive Protein is the single best protein blend in the world, built around what Mother Nature put into mother's milk. Thrive Protein is the first human-appropriate protein blend. There's just too much in Thrive to list in this commercial. That's why I'm challenging you to compare your current protein to Thrive. Get your current protein and go to THRIVProtein.com and see how your protein's label stacks up to Thrive. For a limited time, get 3 pounds of Thrive for $59.95, including shipping inside the U.S. That's THRIVProtein.com and code COMPARE. Get ready to experience protein envy. You've heard about blood flow restriction training since 2006 on SHR, but you're still on the fence. Well, here's the push. BFR is more effective at building muscle than anabolic steroids. That's right, I went there, but it's because it's the truth. My experience with the B-Strong blood flow restriction system is proof to me, and now I'm asking myself why I waited so long. You'll see undeniable changes in the targeted muscles in days and weeks like nothing you've ever tried before. I will never stop using them. Give B-Strong a try. Go to bstrong.training/super-human and use code SHR for 10% off.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. So those of you following anti-aging medicine, you know telomeres are like not the big buzz anymore. There's so much good evidence that shows the thing that actually causes what we associate with advanced aging is the accumulation of senescent cells. we've talked about senescent cells since probably around 2011, I think. I've had Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony on the show to talk about rapamycin and how it eradicates senescent cells. We've talked about dietary approaches that seem to have the ability to slow down the accumulation of senescent cells. But everybody's looking for the holy grail of reducing the load, the accumulation of senescent cells in people, because that actually is the thing that will prevent a lot of the phenotypical changes in our bodies that we associate with aging. Changes in quality of our skin, muscle atrophy and pain, degradation of soft tissue like chondrocytes and fascia of the muscles, tendons and ligaments obviously fit into that discussion. I mean, the changes in your eyesight, your vision, changes in your brain, these are all now understood to be the result of the accumulation of this metabolic waste called senescent cells. Now, it's not just the accumulation of the senescent cell itself, but it's what the senescent cell does to the healthy cells around it that makes it so important to find ways to eradicate senescent cells. So senescent cells produce a variety of inflammatory cytokines and chemokines, and these poisons, they just ooze it out. And so the cells closer to it, they get sick, and then eventually they become senescent cells too. What a senescent cell is a zombie cell. You've heard it called that before, I'm sure, and it's an accurate portrayal. The reason is every cell in your body has an expiration date. We call it apoptosis. So cells, they die off, and the body's sanitation system breaks them apart. Organelles and so on carry them away, but that cell is then replaced with a brand new healthy cell that once again has an expiration date, I'm sure. Well, a senescent cell doesn't die, so it can't be cleared away. Instead, it just becomes this non-functioning cell. And as a non-functioning cell, it lives on forever. So it takes up space that a healthy cell should be replacing. And as larger and larger populations of these senescent cells accumulate because they're making the cells around them sick, you start to slow down, you have aches and pains, you just don't feel as strong as you used to be, you don't swell. It's all these different things. And quite frankly, the senescent cells take their greatest toll on the nervous system. That's really what they do to imply the changes that we associate with aging. And so, of course, the nervous system is the canary in the mine. It goes first. It gets damaged first before anything else happens. So people are taking metformin every single day, thinking that they're going to eradicate senescent cells. They're going into deep dives and fasting day in and day out, week after week, and literally eroding their bodies over time, all because there is evidence that these things affect senescent cell accumulation, but they don't seem to be able to make the senescent cells disappear. They just stop quiescent cells from becoming senescent cells. Now, I'm oversimplifying this, obviously, because I'm really not that smart and I can't spout the science to you. But here's what is really interesting and exciting to those of us in this community. You know, instinctively, we knew something. We just didn't have proof. So I'm gonna start out by reading this study. So this study was published in the Impact Journals by a group over in Taiwan. That's why I couldn't have them on. I wanted to. In Beijing, one of the scientists was in Beijing. The rest of them were in Taiwan. The name of the study is aged cells in human skeletal muscle after resistance training. Not cardiovascular training or endurance training, resistance training. And it's fascinating because they also altered protein intake, which is so friggin' exciting to me that they get it. So listen to this. Hold on. Let me expand this. So it remains unclear how exercise as an entropic event brings benefits against human aging. Here we examined longitudinal changes of the P16 senescent cells, which they can see when they biopsy, in skeletal muscle of young men age 22 on average, before and after resistance exercise at 0 hours and 48 hours. With multiple biopsies, poor guys, that's like a core sample of your muscle, at two different protein availabilities, low protein, which was 14% of their diet was protein, and high protein, which was 44%, including supplemented conditions. They were probably using whey protein. I haven't read through the whole dietary portion of it. Immunochemistry analysis of muscle cross-sections using the P16 and CD34 antibodies confirmed that the detected senescent cells were endothelial progenitor cells. Leukocyte infiltration into skeletal muscle increased during resistance exercise. The senescent cells in the muscles decreased. So even the ones that were present already, they decreased. It's not like they just didn't make more. They were actually converting them or removing them, most likely. I don't know. They could be converting them back to quiescent cells. I have to question the author. The senescent cells in muscles decreased by 48% after exercise for 48 hours. Low protein resulted in greater infiltration of both CD68, phagocytic macrophages, and leukocytes, further decreasing the P16 senescent cells and delayed increases in regeneration of CD163 macrophages and skeletal muscles compared with high protein supplementation. Significant gains in muscle mass after 12 weeks of training occurred only under the high protein supplementation condition. Conclusion: rapid senescent cell clearance of human skeletal muscle during resistance exercise seems to be associated with enhanced in situ phagocytosis. High protein availability accelerates the resolution of muscle inflammation and promotes muscle increments after training. So basically, when you resistance train, when you lift weights, now think about this. Muscle makes up probably next to your skeleton in weight, maybe more. Muscle makes up, if not the most, the largest area of tissue, to at least the second largest area of tissue. And if you lifting weights actually eliminates senescent cells from muscle in the presence of a high-protein diet, which obviously, if you're removing these senescent cells and you're growing new muscle, you're actually increasing the ratio of bad cells to good cells. So that's kind of exciting, too, that you can extrapolate from that. But the reality is that if lifting weights in and of itself completely reduces and clears senescent cells from muscle tissue, then anyone who gives a crap about anti-aging science, who isn't lifting weights, is either a fool or misguided. Because the reality is, we don't really know what's going to happen and how metformin is going to play out. And we know that there can be bad outcomes from being in keto too long and from intermittent fasting for too long. We know that already. But there are really no bad outcomes that can happen from you lifting weights until you're a dead person. And if lifting weights actually does what all the scientists out there are searching for, a silver bullet, a magic pill, you know, to actually do for you, shouldn't everybody be lifting weights today? Everybody. I don't care who you are. If you want to live longer and if you want to reduce senescent cell accumulation in your body. And who knows if they look at brain tissue, if they look at non-skeletal muscle tissue, if there is a carryover from lifting weights. Because we know lifting weights affects bone. We know that. We know that it increases bone density. It influences bone mineral uptake. We also know that lifting weights changes the microbiota in your gut. So if lifting weights has this amazingly beneficial pleiotropic effect, and doctors are not prescribing it for their patients, are they not derelict of their duties as doctors? I mean, this is big. I wanted to have one of the authors on, but time difference and the language barrier made it impossible. And I thought, you know, I don't want to just keep this to myself, and I don't want to just post it on Facebook where it just scrolls by and it's gone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link to this study in the show notes for today's show so that you can then download it and show it to your friends, show it to your mom or dad, bring it to your doctor. But this is quiet. Like if there was a pill that cleared senescent cells from all muscle tissue, you would hear every friggin' podcaster. You would hear every single person within the anti-aging sphere. Oh, we got a pill now that clears senescent cells from all skeletal muscle tissue. This is huge. This is huge. But because it's lifting weights and you actually have to work, because it's lifting weights and you actually have to suffer a little bit, very few people are going to talk about it but us. Because I've been saying since the beginning of this show, muscle is metabolic currency. So get into the gym and make a deposit today. Because I know for a fact that the stronger you are, the longer you live. So it has to have a beneficial effect on physiology in order to influence outcomes. And this is just one more feather in the cap of physical culturists, that you will actually fare better and you will actually reduce the accumulation of senescent cells in your body, and you will be able to get around longer. You won't be in that nursing home. You'll be able to tie your own shoes, shop for your own clothes, get up and out of chairs, no problem. You'll be able to get up and change the channel on the TV yourself. This is monumentous. No one is going to talk about it. Watch. But this is a huge, huge feather in the hat of physical culture. Stay tuned. We're going to take one last break. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who, because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There's lots of CBD products out there, and there's lots of misinformation too. If you want the best CBD product available and the way to use it to improve athletic performance, there is only one choice: Venga CBD. Venga CBD is 5 times more bioavailable than other products, and you feel it faster. But more importantly, the folks at Venga have identified the best way to use it for athletic performance. Go to superhumanradio.net today and download your free copy of the Endurance Athlete's Guide to CBD. Use code SHR10 and save 10% off at vengacbd.com. That's V-E-N-G-A-C-B-D.com.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full bull out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers. If you haven't searched hydrogen water in PubMed yet, you must. Hydrogen-infused water possesses undeniable performance, health, and longevity benefits in the realm of real biohacking. Hydrogen water machines cost hundreds to thousands of dollars. Now you can have the strongest hydrogen-infused water conveniently anywhere you want it thanks to Drink HRW. They make the only legal and clinically validated formula to create hydrogen water instantly. I thought this stuff was BS till I started using it. The effects on my training and my gut are undeniable. I have more energy and I last longer without stims. You have to try Drink HRW Maximum Strength Hydrogen Water Tablet today. Go to h2waternow.com and use the code SHR for 10% off today. You've heard about blood flow restriction training since 2006 on SHR, but you're still on the fence. Well, here's the push. BFR is more effective at building muscle than anabolic steroids. That's right. I went there. But it's because it's the truth. My experience with the B-Strong blood flow restriction system is proof to me. And now I'm asking myself why I waited so long. You'll see undeniable changes in the targeted muscles in days and weeks like nothing you've ever tried before. I will never stop using them. Give B-Strong a try. Go to bstrong.training/super-human and use code SHR for 10% off.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. And in the vein of building muscle, have any of you tried the B-Strong blood flow restriction bands yet? Because if you have, I want to have you on the show. I want you to come on and talk about your experience, because I've had nothing but good experience from them. And I'm just curious if other people in the audience are having the same. If you have used the B-Strong blood flow restriction bands, whether you've had good results or bad results, I want to know. So I want you to email me at onair@superhumanradio.net, and we'll book you on the show to talk about your experience. That's it for today's show. Tomorrow is the Blueprint Power Hour. Wednesday, we're going to be doing a show following up on this hydrogen water concept. I actually have a scientist who does nothing but study this. So we're going to find out if he thinks the science is legit or not. I don't know yet. You can join me and we'll both find out together. All right. So that's it for today. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. And thank you for watching and listening today.